are going to be talking up next with Diane Hardy Garcia, the director of the Lesbian Gay Rights Lobby in Austin, which is a statewide organization. The lobby is one of the few such in the country. I believe there's only two or three other ones around the country, and we are very lucky to have somebody doing that. But we also need to be able to support somebody doing that, because it does cost money to do that. And I know all the predecessors of this organization had a tough time keeping going to be able to work for the Lesbian Gay Rights Lobby. And on Wednesday of this week, Primetime Live did a segment on Texas and the gay murders, which was very interesting and brought some national attention to something that we knew about it. New York Times, not too far back, also wrote an article on it. And I'm sure this is not so isolated in other states. It's just that we know about these incidents, and it was pointed out to be gay. Diane, how are you doing?
All right. Having a busy week.
Yes, I'm sure you must have got a lot of calls after that national story.
Well, we've been working for a year to bring attention to the hate-related murders in Texas, and I think finally our work is paying off and that we're getting as much coverage as we can. I mean, as a lesbian and gay community, we don't often have a great deal of money to pay politicians or make big contributions, so we have to depend on the public being aware of our issues. And that's why it was so important for us to make sure that these kind of programs aired and do everything we could to bring public attention to the violence.
How was this program put together? Did they come to you, or did you all try to suggest a story to the media?
We have been trying to get this story covered for the last year. It was about the summer that we started to get a little bit more attention, but I was always trying to get them to do comprehensive coverage where
right,
they would look
right.
at all the murders and put them all together. And finally, a writer from Vanity Fair, I sent out no less than 20 AP stories that made it across, about partial stories in regard to the murders, but finally, a writer from Vanity Fair and the editors from Vanity Fair decided they wanted to do the complete story. I think they did an excellent job, if people haven't read that piece.
It's the February... What month issue is it?
It's the February issue. It's the one with Brad Pitt on it. And it's a really well-done story about, you know... what we've been trying to say is that the murders are a product of the society that we live in, a society that preaches and teaches hatred of lesbians and gays. And that, you know, when you preach and teach hatred, you're going to get violence. And so the story talks about that, the anti-gay environment, and the fact that it produces violence.
Well, does it always make sense when something like this happens to try to push it as a hate crime, knowing the political climate in the state, or just press it as a murder?
I think what we need and what we're asking Texas lawmakers to do, and I hope I get a little bit of a chance to talk about that in terms of legislation, is that at this point people do not want to look at the fact that 8 gay men were murdered in this state for one reason. They were gay, and they do not want to look at that. They do not want to acknowledge it. And if we just say, okay, well, we're just going to prosecute it as a murder, we know that people who murder lesbians and gays get lighter sentences. Historically, it's the same of people of color, and it's the same of women as well, but we know that we have that historical precedent. So at this point in time, we have to make the public aware that, you know, hatred and discrimination are not benign things. They produce violence, and you need to look at the violence it produces.
It's also a little bit interesting that probably a few years ago, let's say if this happened 5 years ago, and probably a number of these murders did happen 5 years ago or 10 years ago, is that probably a lot of the families would probably not want to say that it was a gay-related murder.
They don't. And some of them that are not all of them, you know, were not getting along with their sons or our daughters. It's just that we know historically that people who kill lesbians and gays or commit crimes against lesbians and gays get light sentences. So oftentimes a prosecutor will say, look, I want to keep this gay stuff out of here because mm-hmm. the jury's going to be prejudiced against your family member because they were gay. And so they're going to be prejudiced against the victim, and therefore the person who committed this crime is going to get a lighter sentence. So family members are also concerned because they know the history as well. And so sometimes, of course, naturally, they want the stiffest penalty for the person who did this to their loved one.
I guess one of the things that also happened in this series is that you've been able to travel around the state and talk to some of the, you know, not everybody realizes that Texas is an urban state when you consider the, you know, the four major cities that triangle here in the east part of the state, but there's a lot of people that live outside that area that don't have a so-called ghetto or gay and lesbian community. How do these people, are these people starting to organize now?
I think some of the things that I'm proudest of in the last year have been the efforts of people, lesbians and gays living in rural Texas, to organize around the violence, and, you know, to stand up to it. Everywhere I go, and it is my, you know, I've been trying very hard to make sure that we really represent Texas, that we're not just about Houston, Dallas, and Austin. And when I travel around the state, I always hear of violence. People always talk about violence, and it's almost as though we as lesbians and gays are used to it.
Yeah.
And so I think that there are the two biggest issues facing lesbians and gay Texans today is fear of violence, rightfully so, and employment discrimination.
Well, I think one of the things is that a lot of us gay men have learned from the women's community of how to protect ourselves. When we're going out, we walk in the street rather on the sidewalk because it's a little bit safer there. Mm-hmm. And we hold our keys in our hands, and you know, those very common sense things that women have learned a long time ago.
Yeah, or are socialized too. I mean, women, gay men are socialized as men. They're not told that you're never to park in the dark. And, you know, lesbians are socialized as women. That if something, if we parked in the dark and we got raped, it, you know, people would think it was our fault. So I think that's part of why gay men have been so victimized in some way.
And the Tyler incident, I guess it was talked about how the gentleman did not fight back.
Well, I mean, would you fight back with three pistols pointed at your head? I don't think so. I mean, I think they just tortured the man over and over again. And that's what these... I think people need to know this. I mean, these were brutal murders.
Mm-hmm.
They were mutilations of people's bodies. They were not a single gunshot to the head or to the chest. That, you know, a man was stabbed over 100 times. I mean... To do that kind of act, you have to somehow believe we're not human. And so I am saying that beyond this issue, we have to hold society accountable for producing these actions. We live in a society that continues to preach and teach hatred of lesbians and gays, and that has consequences. And they're violent consequences. And if you preach and teach hatred, then you need to be responsible for that violence, and we're going to make you responsible.
The November's election was sort of a wake-up, I think, to a lot of us. Well, not a lot of us, because a lot of us have been working in the electoral community for a long time, but that a lot of our community just sort of sat by and didn't vote or wasn't concerned about it, and we had this big sweep in Washington. And everything has changed up there of a progressive movement. What has happened, even though the election didn't affect Texas, I mean, it wasn't a Texas election in particular, but what is going on this year in the legislation?
Well, naturally, after this year of violence, our top legislative issue is a hate crimes bill, and I would love to urge your viewers to write your state senators from Houston right now, because this bill, how it's Senate Bill 121, will probably come up for a vote quite soon. They're ready to take up this issue, and what we're trying to do is provide penalty enhancements for those who commit hate-related violence on the basis of race, ethnicity, religion, and sexual orientation. We are trying to mirror what is on the federal level in terms of reporting and then also copy a law that was upheld by the Supreme Court, and that's the Wisconsin hate crime law. And so that's something that I would urge your viewers to write right away. It'll come up. And then also to write their state representatives, and I can give those addresses if you...
Well, I think it would also be important that a lot of people living here in Houston are from some of the other areas in Texas, that they should probably also try to write where they the legislative district where they came from.
Absolutely.
Because the Texas legislature is still more biased towards the rural areas than it is towards the metropolitan areas.
Yeah, if you're living in Houston, you've been living there 10 years, but you have friends and you come from Amarillo, certainly, please get your friends from Amarillo to write. Please get your family to write. It's been a myth too long that you know, we're just from Houston, from Montrose and Oaklawn and all over Austin. So I urge, you know, write from where you lived and where you grew up and get your family members to write. This issue is particularly palatable, I think, to other people. This is not about asking people to agree with us on all homosexual issues. This is about asking people to say that even though we may not agree on the topic of homosexuality, no one should die over this disagreement. And I think everybody, conservative, moderate, liberal, can say that and should be able to say that.
We're talking to Diane Hardy Garcia, the executive director of the Lesbian Gay Rights Lobby of Texas, and she's in Austin today. It's pretty scary, though, when they're in session, isn't it?
It's scary because the potential for harm is always there as well, but we have a real chance to win this bill, and we deserve this bill, the hate crimes penalty enhancement. We certainly deserve after this year. So I'm very hopeful that we will make history with this bill this time, and so it's there. The composition of the House and the Senate did not change that much. Texas did not have a big swing to the Republican right. But at the same time, you know, there's an old joke with the Texas legislature. Our Democrats would be Republicans in any other state. So we're always up for a tough battle. But we need as many people to read the paper and keep up and become members and you know, respond. Your letters make a tremendous amount of difference, especially if they're handwritten. A handwritten letter from a constituent is like gold. I can't emphasize that enough.
Absolutely. It is so important for people to get involved, and it doesn't take a lot of time or effort. A simple letter addressed to your state representative or your state senator, and especially calling your you know, talk to your family and friends who may live in other parts of the state to do that. What do we see in AIDS legislation?
I think that, of course, there's always a fight for funding, and for the funding that we need to provide services and to do prevention. I anticipate that we'll probably have some bad legislation that will come our way in regards to confidentiality, and so we have to watch for those kind of bills and track them. There's been talk of mandating testing for all people before they marry, mandating testing before people become parents and adopt. So we're watching for those kind of bills. Of course, we want to do everything we can to protect people's rights to confidentiality. The needle exchange will be another topic and a battle. Home health testing is an issue that's of interest to many lesbians and gays right now. Johnson & Johnson wants to provide home health, home HIV testing.
And what is the position of the lobby on home testing?
We're waiting for some surveys that we sent out to tally some information on them to see how people feel about the issue. We will probably make a decision in the next month or so. Gwen Maxey is carrying the bill to allow home health testing. So, but regardless of what Gwen does, we're still tallying that information. We want to make sure we represent some reality in terms of what people think.
Yeah, I'm sure there's good issues and bad issues on that.
Absolutely, and we need to hear. So our survey was really designed for rural Texans to see how they felt about this issue. We seem to have gotten more feedback already Glenda has extensive feedback from the cities, but we wanted to make sure that rural Texans had a voice in this.
Yeah, you know, we're very lucky to have places like the Montrose Clinic where you can get anonymous testing, and I guess that probably isn't available in all the rural areas.
No, and, you know, but Glenn has concerns, too, as well as to how, you know, will people be able to get some kind of...
Party the night before the march, but we're really going to try to... We're going to have another march in Austin. It's called the Texas March to Stop the Violence. So very much focused on our two biggest legislative issues, hate crimes and employment non-discrimination. And so... We want the march to be focused on that. We want to talk about what hatred does to people, how it destroys lives by employment discrimination, and how the violence has affected lesbian and gay Texans. And so that's what the focus of the march is. The night before the march, we're going to have a really big kind of party, and it's called the biggest and hottest party in Texas. And so we'll be able to celebrate a little bit before, but... It really will make a difference if people can make that time to come down to Austin on April 2nd. And we're urging people to take off of work on April 3rd to lobby their legislators. People need to meet, our legislators need to meet us face to face. They need to shake our hands. They need to get a triangle-shaped cookie and have us tell them why we need justice in this state. So...
And doing all this stuff, lobbying and traveling around and talking and getting this publicity, letting people know that this is going on, certainly does take some money, doesn't it?
Absolutely. We're only as strong as our membership, and right now I'm really proud to say that our membership has doubled in the last year.
Great.
But it's not nearly what we should be. Texas should have a huge membership in terms of lobbying efforts. So... If people would like to become members, they can do so by sending a donation to us at P.O. Box 2579, Austin, Texas, 78768.
And they also can get involved by going to the local political organizations around the state, which includes the Houston Gay and Lesbian Political Caucus.
Yes, the Houston Lesbian and Gay Political Caucus has been very helpful to us. They always are there for the lesbian and gay rights lobby and been a tremendous support. I really admire their work. And if people do not know who their legislators are, either call the local political caucus and they will help, or call us at 512-474-5475.
Would you say that number one more time, Diane?
It's area code 512-474-5475. And if you call us, we'll tell you who your legislators are so you can write, we'll look you up in our database and we'll look you up in terms of what district you're in. Because this system, I think people... I want to say this clearly. The system is not designed for access. The state political system is not mm-hmm. designed to give people access to how this whole system works. And so I fear oftentimes people may want to write, but they don't know who to write to because this isn't publicized. People don't know how the legislature works. Most people don't know who their state legislators are. And so don't be embarrassed about that. That's not your fault. The system is designed to keep people out. And so we've got to figure out ways to infiltrate the system. So call us and we'll help you get connected with who you need to be writing to.
Well, great. It was great seeing you up at the Creating Change Conference in Dallas last November where we had a special Texas sort of meeting up there.
Yeah, that was nice.
But it's real important to get involved. I mean, we're always preaching that thing. Get involved, whether you're involved in the local radio station or the local political caucus or the statewide stuff. Diane, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Thank you.
And we look forward to seeing you there April for the March on Austin, for the third March on Austin. We were speaking to Diane Hardy-Garcia, the Executive Director of the Lesbian and Gay Rights Lobby of Texas. Diane, we'll see you in April.
Take care.
And you're listening to KPFT Houston, the Pacifica Foundation station, Lesbian and Gay Voices.